Blog Talk Radio.
Book. Our topic tonight is Jihadists Are Clubbing Canadians. It's like a new version of the seal hunt. They're out there hunting Canadians. When you live in La La Land like we Americans and Canadians do, we are shocked when a mere handful of radical Muslims seems to be everywhere. We used to be free to do a walkabout. Now we have to take our shoes off at the airport. Next, we'll have to wash our feet and do wudu before prayers. Hi, Joe. I see you're still alive. You must have converted. Yeah, Tom. I just could not stand to pay the Jesus tax for staying with Jesus. This way, I'm a first-class citizen. So how's the family? Oh, the wife and kids are gone. That was part of the deal. They are jihad camp followers. Hey, Joe, remember when you were a community activist and opposing fracking, supporting Obama? Hey, Tom, I still support Obama. I just had to get rid of my We Have Rights sign. Joe, are you working? Oh, yeah, I'm on the people's fracking rig. What? I'm on the people's fracking rig. Joe, I thought you were a greenie opposed to big oil. Tom, only American big oil. I'm working with the Russians and the Qataris now. I was given this gravy assignment by the UN that now protects the new improved USA. And you can't say United anymore. Well, at least you got to keep your house and car. Yeah, they let me sleep in the garage. This way I'm close to the car when the Caliph wants to go Christian hunting or bride picking. I can't believe a handful of bad Muslims took over the country. I have to go now and deliver green cards to a handful. To a handful of illegal aliens. How many is a handful? About 34 million. You know that 34 million? That's 1 million more than voted for Bush or voted for Gore. How's that grab you, huh? Well, I guess you could, you know, restructure the new Democrat world order. Would you like a tune on the way out? Yeah, I think I can find a tune for you on the way out, the one to I can dedicate to your president. Well, he's not a president anymore. He's a caliph. Yeah. Is he a winner, would you say? Well, he's managed to turn a once great country into a ghetto. He's the first president to assassinate a whole country. It is terrible. I thought I could find it, but it looks like I'm not going to find it. Okay, maybe it's under L for loser. Let me look up loser. Hang in there, folks. Otherwise, I'll have to give you some good music. Let's twist again. Life is but a dream. A little darling. A little Egypt. Here it is. Okay, the President Obama song. Figure out what language that is. It's not one that I recognize. But anyway, welcome to the Spirit of America party. And one of the big headlines is, you remember the five guys, those five innocent Taliban that were traded? Obama traded them for Bo Birdcall. Remember Bo Birdcall, who walked off his military post as a private and went and lived with the Haqqani network for a bunch of years. Nine guys died trying to find him and rescue him. Remember that? And he abandoned his post and he left his team short, one man. And then he walked into a Haqqani camp and turned himself in. And I think he was an instructor after that. They made him an instructor. And I think he was allowed to carry a sidearm. So, of course, that qualifies him for the Democrat Party. Once you betray your country, you can become a full-fledged Democrat. And President Obama promoted him to sergeant. How's that? And the privates that he walked away from are still privates, huh? Yeah. Because they were playing by the book. And it wasn't Obama's book. So now it turns out that the five who were sent to Qatar, and we had the Qatari promise that they would not re-enter the battlefield, have turned up in the battlefield. Two of them have turned up in the battlefield. So you know who the five were that Obama traded for a traitor? Khairullah Kirkawa. He was the governor of Herat. Now, these people were all taken off the battlefield so they couldn't hurt women, children, and men. And they were removed by George Bush and kept in isolation. And the communists are saying they weren't treated fairly at Gitmo. But now they're going to start beheading and cutting the noses. That's one of the traditions of the Taliban. If your wife offends you, you cut her nose. You cut it on an angle so she looks like a pig. Beautiful, isn't it? Yes. This is the New World Order coming, man. Second guy was Narullah Nuri. He was the governor of Balkh province. As a matter of fact, he was the governor of two provinces. And Khairullah Kirkawa was the governor of Herat province. Abdul Haq Wasik, he was the head of the Taliban Human Rights Watch. Yeah, he was the head of intelligence. Mohammed Abi Omeri, he was head of the Taliban communications. So this Obama has re-outfitted the Taliban. Do you think he's working against us? Do you think that maybe he's rooting for the other side? Mohammed Fazl, he was the Minister of Defense. He likes to kill Shia, especially on their holidays. And Mohammed Nabi, he was the head of Taliban security. He penetrated the CIA and killed many. Yes, and that's who Obama gave back to his brothers of the spear. Yeah, unbelievable. GIs died looking for him. Obama leaves no one behind unless they're American. Yep. How many GIs died fighting the five who were released? We don't know that figure. That is really a crime. Okay, we're going to sing a little Darling. Freedom From Religion Foundation, an atheistic group, is planning to hand out in several Florida public high schools a pamphlet that features an illustration on its cover depicting a humanized Bible sexually assaulting a young woman. The pamphlet is entitled An X-Rated Book, sex and obscenity in the Bible. There you go. There you go. They don't want freedom from religion. They want to destroy religion. Atheists make the best communists, and communists make the best Democrats. So, having said that, let's see what else was going on today. We've got this Ferguson report about the drug addict who assaulted a police officer, and the police officer had to shoot him in self-defense out there in Ferguson, Missouri. And the communists are playing it up because they want riots. They want race riots throughout the country. And that's just more chaos. And chaos is good for communism. And if you look at all of the stuntmen that will be showing up in Ferguson, they are communist indoctrinees. And behind all of those black guys is one manipulating white guy that's running the show, and he's a communist. Yep. Look behind the mob and look for the white guy, because there's a white guy. Anytime you see a mob that's about to riot, a black mob, you look behind that crowd. Somewhere behind that crowd is a white guy calling all the shots. You don't believe that? Well, we'll see. We'll see. There's a master plan. It's called Destroy the United States. And they're going to use, what do they call them? A lumpen of proletariats who can be discarded after the revolution, be sent to Siberia. Yes. We're in trouble. So, it turns out that I love it, you know, when the communists start to agitate the natives. What they do is the 290-pound thug who robbed a 110-pound Indian merchant and pushed him around and stole cigars from his store. And, of course, the police were called, and the policeman came to fulfill his obligation to the law so he could one day get a pension and live in comfort the rest of his life. But his life was threatened by a 290-pound thuggee who had stolen cigars to continue smoking blunts. And he started to punch the cop when the cop was in the car. And the cop fired a round through his hand. They were struggling over a gun. And finally, the altercation continued, and the cop eventually shot him. And, of course, all the liars showed up and said the guy was on his knees with his hands in the air. He was surrendering. And they blew it out of proportion. And as soon as they blew it out of proportion, Jesse Jackson rang the register, and Al Sharpton called his bank and said, will you be open on the weekend? And they went out to raise some funds from the suckers in Ferguson. But the suckers weren't easily fooled, because when Jackson got there, they shouted, has anybody got $100 bills for Jesse? And where were you, Jesse? And when Al Sharpton came out, they sang Ba Ba Black Sheep, have you any wool, meaning cash. Yeah, and he said, yes, sir, three bags full. Al Sharpton is he's a real agitator. He gets people killed. Jesse just dips his shirt in the blood of the lamb and looks good. And that's all the blacks have. They have Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. They have no other leaders, unless you want to count the NAACP, which is the National Association for the Advancement of Communist People. It used to be for the blacks, but not anymore. Now it's for the Russians. The Russians are running the NAACP. Look behind the black guys in the back. There's a white guy pulling the strings. Okay, So, having said that, what else is going on? We're dropping we're dropping aid to ISIL. Yeah, it's supposed to go to the Kurds, but instead we're dropping aid to ISIL. And ISIL's complaining because all the grenades that were dropped were demonstration grenades. Yeah, unbelievable. We can't even get it right. We can't get it right. How about 34 million? 34 million green cards. Boy, that's going to be a lot of people out of work. Yep. It's unbelievable. Let's see here. What's going on? Oh, there is a big expose about how they took over the Congress in Colorado. And communists are now running Colorado. Check out the discussion, O'Keefe Strikes Again. Do you know O'Keefe? This guy, Jim O'Keefe? He's the guy that, he's the guy that him and a girl went to I think it was Planned Parenthood, and she was, he pretended to be a pimp, and she pretended to be a hooker, and underage from a foreign country, and they got advice on how to get an abortion, how to fill out the proper paperwork so you can kill a kid. Yeah, compliments of the party of death. Many liberals are adamant that there's no threat of voter fraud that justifies efforts that improve the integrity of elections. Oh, they got a problem in some town in Illinois. A guy went to vote Republican, and every time he voted Republican, the screen changed to Democrat. Oh, man, are we in trouble? You don't hear much about George Soros anymore, do you? He's way deep undercover. You know who else is way deep undercover? The head of the Department of No Justice. What was his name? Eric Holder? The bag man for Clinton on the Mark Rich pardon? Yeah, he packaged that whole deal up. He was a lawyer at the time, or maybe he even worked in the Attorney General's office, but he's the one that got Clinton all the money that they say they don't have. It's alleged. Yeah. There's no concrete evidence of voter fraud, tweeted Donna Brazil, former acting chair of the Democrat National Committee, DNC. You know what DNC also stands for? Divide and conquer. You know what else it stands for? A dilatation in curettage. That's a fancy, a fresh French word for abortion. James O'Keefe, the guerrilla filmmaker, you know what he did? He got dressed up as Osama bin Laden, and he crossed the Rio Grande, and nobody stopped him. Yeah, he brought down the Acorn voter registration of fraudsters in 2010 and forced the resignation of NPR executives. Is that National Public Radio? Man, the government has a Pravda everywhere. They got the media, they got NPR. How do you ever get the truth? You get it in fortune cookies at the Chinese restaurant. That's what's coming next. Today he is releasing some new undercover footage that raises disturbing questions about ballot integrity in Colorado, the site of fiercely contested races for the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House, and the governorship. When he raised the issue of filling out some of the unused ballots that are mailed to every household in the state this month, he was told by Meredith Hicks, the director of Work for Progress, a liberal group. There's no such thing as liberal. Liberal is communist. Left wing is communist. Democrat is communist. Funded by Democratic super PACs. Communist super PACs. That is not even like lying or something. If someone throws out a ballot, like if you want to fill it out, you should do it. She then brazenly offered O'Keefe, disguised as a middle-aged college instructor, a job with her group. A video of O'Keefe's encounters with other operatives is equally disturbing. He has a conversation with Greenpeace employee. Greenpeace is a communist front group. Christina Topping, and suggests he might have access to unused ballots from people who have recently moved out of college fraternity houses. I mean, it is putting the votes to good use, she responds. So really, truly, like, yeah, that is awesome. Colorado Secretary of State Scott Gessler, along with several county election clerks, have raised warning flags that a new state law that automatically mails a ballot to everyone is an engraved invitation to commit fraud. Sending ballots to people who do not even ask for them or have moved out of the state is asking for trouble, he told me. For example, little can stop someone who collects discarded ballots from trash cans, fills out the ballots, and mails them in. Election workers are supposed to compare signatures on registration records with signed ballots. But if a person has a witness who signs the ballot on the witness line, then the signatures do not have to match and the vote is counted. So we got trouble, man. We're losing our country. We're being rooked. We're being crooked. We're being taxed to death. And there is no more middle class. It is sad to realize there are people in their 40s that do not have a retirement plan. That is not good news. Secretary of State Gessler had futile arguments with Democratic state legislators last year who insisted on ramming a bill through that mandated Colorado become the only state in the nation with both all-mail balloting and same-day registration. Under same-day registration, someone can register to vote online, have a mail ballot sent to them, and never physically show up to register or vote. Other places that use same-day registration treat the vote as a provisional ballot pending verification. Colorado immediately counts the vote, and there's no way to separate it out if the person who votes is later found ineligible. We know people in other states with better integrity safeguards have cheated using the cover of these methods. Gessler told me, a decade ago, Melody Rose, then a liberal professor at Oregon State University, the universities are gone, folks. They are gone. Take the money that you're going to donate to a university and put it in a preschool for a kid that can still become an American. Concluded that state's vote by mail system brings a perpetual risk of systemic fraud in elections with razor-thin margins. So there you go. Just one day is all anyone should have to vote. Absentee ballots are being used for fraud, and the good absentee ballots, like that were filled out in Afghanistan by Republican combat troops, were put into an ammo dump in a box marked ammunition, and their vote was never counted. And don't think that's not going to go on again, because they got away with it once already. Time for a tune. We'll find you a tune. It is really sad. Your vote isn't going to count soon. You know when your vote doesn't count? When somebody tells you, when a guy like Bob Bickle, all right, who's a diehard Democrat, he tells you that when he first went to Washington, there were 1,700 lobbyists, lobbying groups. And he said, now there's 40,000. So what does that tell you about that?
Baby, you belong to me. That's the way it was meant to be.
Headline, Religious Liberty Dies in California, Churches Are Forced to Pay for Elective Abortions. And then they got a little poster, and it's a fetus, you know, what the communists call a fetus. It's a little kid. I call them Junior and Sis. Please don't discriminate against me because of my size. I'm a person just like you. Please don't abandon me because I am unwanted. I am human just like you. Please don't kill me because you think it's your right. I deserve equal rights just like you. California Department of Managed Health Care has decreed that all employers, including churches, must pay for elective abortions in their health insurance plans. Man, you're going to see a health care plan get scuttled so fast you're not going to believe it. A coalition of pro-life groups is challenging the mandate. You know, there's people walking around that don't have any pension, they don't have any IRA, and pretty soon they're not going to have health insurance. This communist government is going to reduce everybody to a peasant, and then you're going to work for the government. That'll be the only job available. I watched today a clip of Google in California, which is outside of San Francisco, yet for their workers as a benefit, if you work for Google, they send a bus into San Francisco for Google workers. That's free. And who's demonstrating outside of the bus? The communists. They're calling Google filthy rich, and they're only on welfare. Yeah, they're only getting welfare money. And it's kind of hard, you know, to buy all those drugs with food stamps. Did anybody ever figure out what it costs to be on welfare, what the benefits are, the welfare benefits? What do you think they are? And if you have kids, somebody said you get $2,000 a kid a month. So you have two kids, that's $24,000, $48,000 just for having two kids. And then you've got the food stamps, and everything is tax-free, paid for by the taxpayer who's working, and he's making $60,000, and the government is getting half. He'd be better off on welfare. The Department of Managed Health Care has ordered all employers, including churches and other religious organizations such as colleges and universities, to pay for elective abortions in their plans. I'll tell you, man, you know what? You couldn't do that to me. I'd go small. I'd go small. I wouldn't qualify for anything, and neither would my employees. And, of course, you know, there's plenty of workers out there. They're a dime a dozen. There's 34 million green cards about to hit the market. Everybody's going to get a salary cut. You wait and see. You know who's getting the first salary cut? The House and the Senate. They're getting a salary cut in November when the people go to the voting booth. And if you don't take out the guy that's hurting you now, he's going to take you out later. Unbelievable. Mark Levin is saying Obama's going to go full Mussolini soon. Impeach America's fraud president. Oh, man, they really want to do it. If you're not for the Tea Party, that guy that called and spoke to Mike Gallagher today, he was the head, I think, I don't want to mention, a town. I think it was a town in North Carolina. He was the head of the NAACP there. And he said, all Tea Party people are racists. It's a terrible thing to say. And Gallagher said, well, how do you know that? And he couldn't justify it. But that's it, man. That's the typical Democrat tactic. Mary is a whore. That's all you have to know. You play that card. Mary is a whore. What do you mean she's a whore? Yeah, everybody knows that. Can you prove it? Well, let Mary prove it. So Mary gets her money out of the cookie jar, and she goes and gets a lawyer, and she defends her honor. 80% already believe she's a whore, based on the media. So she gets a lawyer, and she gets justification. She proves she's not, and only 50% believe she's a whore. Mary's finished. And that's how the communists wipe you out. They have two tactics, assassination by ridicule. They use stooges like John DeMonkey and Bill Maher, SNL. That's assassination by ridicule. And then there's assassination by lie. Do you know the difference between a Republican and a Democrat when they get caught stealing? The Democrat says, the Republican says, I didn't do it. And the Democrat says, you can't approve it. I'm going to pay a tribute to the feminist movement. The Butch.
Step right up,
my friend,
and see Lilisa do a famous dance of the pyramid. Now she walks, she talks, she crawls on her belly like a reptile. Just one thin dime, one-tenth of a dollar. Step right up, folks. I went and bought myself a ticket. I sat down in the very first row. They pulled the curtain up, and when they turned the spotlight way down low, a little Egypt came out certain, wearing nothing but a button and a bow, singing.
Looking at that monument that military guy in Canada was gunned down in front of. He was guarding the monument. It's to World War I veterans. And it's Canada's tribute to those who gave their lives to protect Canada. And this guy, a so-called Canadian citizen, he caught that guard not expecting to take a bullet, and he killed him, and he wounded another one. The shots rang out just before 10 a.m. when a guard at the National War Monument was fatally shot. The gunman next ran into the Parliament Hill building, where one MP reported hearing as many as 30 shots fired, and a sergeant-at-arms was later credited with shooting the suspect dead. In the following moments and hours, Royal Canadian Mounted Police converged on the scene. More shots were reported less than a mile away near a mall, and officials told Ottawa residents to barricade themselves in their homes. Now, don't you think it would be nice when you barricade yourself in your home that you have a gun? Huh? Wouldn't you feel a little more comfortable? Hello, I've got my cell phone here. I'm calling 911. Hey, I'm barricaded in my home, and this guy is coming through the window. What can I do? Can I talk him out of it? Yeah, you can talk them out of it if you got a 45. They listen to guys with 45s. The shooting at the government complex came after witnesses said and saw at least one man jump out of a Toyota Corolla. See, the Japanese are involved. And run toward the memorial and open fire on a soldier who later died. They finally named the soldier as Corporal Nathan Cirillo. According to his aunt, the Globe and Mail reported, Cirillo was a member of the Argyle and Sutherland Highlanders, a regiment of reserve forces based in Hamilton. According to the Globe, he was training to join the Canada Border Services Agency. I mean, one less guy on the border. Obama loves that. Obama doesn't want anybody on the border. This is the president who assassinated a country. And now he's turning it into a ghetto, one big ghetto. Really sad, man. Really sad. So, having said that, let's see what else is in the news. Time is almost up. Jihadists are clubbing Canadians. Speaker Boehner, who will control your internet? Yeah, unbelievable. Want to see Al Franken defeated? Definitely. He's SNL residue. Yep. Unbelievable. Air France, only our 24-hour flash fares and business class specials. We've got a deal going into Liberia. Unbelievable. You can go from Houston to Dubai for $8.49. Check with the Emiratis. They'll cut that price. They'll even bargain with you. You have to fly Emirates Air. They have the price before bargaining and the price after bargaining. Okay. Having said that, we're going to talk about smoking. Sometimes smoking is good, especially if somebody breaks your heart. And smoke gets in your eyes. how the communists can twist and mislead you. This head of the NAACP that spoke to Mike Gallagher on his show today said, yeah, the Tea Party is racist. And Mike says, why do you say that? He says, because they want to take their country back. They want to bring us back to the 50s with the lynchings. But that's not what the Tea Party means by taking their country back. They mean taking it back from the communists. But everybody is afraid to say the word communist. Nobody will say it because, you know why? Because the communists have brainwashed everybody to be afraid of a label, the McCarthyite label. He's a McCarthyite. What was wrong with Joe McCarthy? He loved this country. He believed there were communists in government. He was not wrong. Okay? He was shot down. He was taken down. He stood alone. And I hope Mel Gibson makes the Joe McCarthy story. So, I just wanted to mention that to you. When they play that card that they want to take the country back to the 50s. No, we want to take our country back. We want Americans in office, not communists. You got 70 congressmen who are members of the Socialist Party. That's a big wedge. Okay? If somebody told you that the Nazis before World War II, 70 Nazis were in the Congress, would you be upset? Or would your father or grandfather have been upset? You better believe it. And your father and grandfather could recognize communism more than you can. You don't even know what it's about. You got a professor that's brainwashing you to hate your country. Yeah. And it's all about splitting. They're splitting. America is one giant amoeba, and they keep splitting the amoeba. Unbelievable, man. Why don't we go out to the ball game? They got a World Series tonight, huh? Oh, this is the Iranian national anthem.
Ballspieler, es passt nicht als ein Karspiel, weil sie sechs, zwei, drei, zwei, 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 der Baseballspiel. Gott, Mensch, Amerika,
national anthem. Okay. I'll tell you a little story. You know how Harvard was founded as the first university in the United States. It was founded as a divinity school. And guys used to go there to become preachers. Now it's a communist training academy, as most colleges are. Whether you're a full-fledged communist or a part-time communist, or you don't know you're a communist, but you've been brainwashed, look behind your left ear, see if there's a drain plug. Yale is another one. that's competing with Harvard for a communist a doctorate in communism. Yeah. Unbelievable. And Yale once bred heroes and patriots. There was a kid that went there. I think he was 16 when he went there. His name was Nathan Hale. And he was going to be a minister. And I think a friend of his named Talmadge, who was a revolutionary, convinced him to serve a greater cause, which was going to be the establishment of a free society in the colonies. So Nathan Hale became a spy in the army of the revolution. And he was out there somewhere in Long Island, and he was spying for General Washington. And a cousin pointed him out to the British as a spy, one of Washington's spies. So he was betrayed by a cousin, which just proves my axiom. It's called the Jesus theory. 1 out of 12 will betray you. So his cousin betrayed him, and they decided to hang him. So he was kept in an apple orchard where they were going to hang him, and he was allowed a Bible, and he was allowed, he wasn't allowed a Bible. He was allowed a pen and paper to write to his mother. So the British officer, whose marquee it was that he was being held in, gave him pen and paper so he could write a letter to his mother. When they hanged him, that apple orchard was down on Broadway in the city. Some people say he's buried under Penn Station because the British never gave his body back. And they tore up, the provost marshal tore up the letter he wrote to his mother. And it's funny, I believe the general at the time was Cornwallis, who was running the whole show. And there is an Irish song. No song was ever written about Nathan Hale. They would write one about the... some cloud, a cloud story, you know, from a Hollywood actress. They would write a tune, you know. Oh, I saw speaking of tunes and Hollywood, phony Hollywood. I never watch. I do not watch one Sean Phnom Penh movie. To me, he is a hardcore communist. And all his movies have a communist message. But I got intrigued in a movie with him and Nicole Kidman called The Interpreter. And at the end of the movie, I said, that son of a bee got me. This is a full-fledged communist movie. It's a big propaganda movie. And the story is she's from South Africa. She's an interpreter at the UN. And he is what an insult to the Secret Service. He's a Secret Service agent. And he's got to protect the ruler of a country, make-believe country called Mobutu. And he's a killer. And he's a genocidal killer. And Nicole Kidman is trying to get to him to kill him. And Sean Phnom Penh, he falls in love with Nicole Kidman. So they have a little, they show you the Secret Service is protecting everybody. And then it turns out that the Secret Service is working for the UN. And the end of the movie, justice prevails. The bad guy is charged with crimes by the UN. The UN, who stood by and watched a million Tutsis and Hutus destroy each other. Actually, it was the Tutsis, I think, that got destroyed by the Hutus. and it was like 850,000 that the Hutus killed. And Bill Clinton says, we can't get involved until they kill a million, and then we can call it genocide. Right now, it's just workplace violence. Yeah. So the end of the movie is justice prevails, all only because of the UN. And they show you the great altar of communism, the UN building. And that says the sun sets and Sean and Nicole Kidman are, you know, they've been justified. Wonderful movie, yeah. Totally anti-American. It's the New World Order, man. You're watching previews of coming attractions. What are we going to do? So anyway, I was talking about Nathan Hale, and nobody ever wrote a song about Nathan Hale. But the Irish, who also held a rebellion under the same general that convicted Nathan Hale. He was sent to Ireland to put down the Irish. I think it was almost 20 years later, the Irish had an uprising. It was called the Uprising of United Irishmen. And they were both Catholics and Protestants, all Irish, who stood against the crown. And unfortunately, they weren't as fortunate as we were, because we had a big country and we just wore the British out. We could lure them in like the Russians lured the Germans in and the French in. And we were also 3,000 miles away, where the Irish Sea was a short ride. But anyway, there is a song called The Crappie Boy. And this Crappie Boy is known as a revolutionary. And the Irish saw what the Americans did and won. And then they saw what the French did and won. Of course, the French killed all the wrong people. But the French revolutionaries used to cut their hair in a crappie style. So did the Irish, copying from the French. And this hero, who gave his life for his country, was called the Crappie Boy. So when I hear this Irish tune, The Crappie Boy, I think of Nathan Hale, because they were both about the same age, and they both suffered and died for love of a country. Nathan Hale never even saw the country being born.
It was early, early, all in the spring. The birds did whistle and sweetly sing, changing their notes from tree to tree, and the song they sang was Old Ireland Free. It was early, early, all in the night, the yeoman cavalry gave me a fright. The yeoman cavalry were my downfall, and taken was I by Lord Cornwall. As I was walking up Wexford Hill, oh, who would blame me to cry my fill? I looked behind and I looked before, but my aged mother I shall see no more. As I was walking up Wexford Street, my own first cousin I chanced to meet. My own first cousin did me betray, and for one bare guinea sold my life away. As I was mounted on the platform high, my aged father was standing by. My aged father did me deny, and the name he gave me was the Crappie Boy. It was in Dungannon this young man died, and in Dungannon his body lies. So all good people who do pass by, just drop a tear for the crummy boy.
I was watching part of the passing of command of the U.S. Marine Corps from General Amos to his replacement. And General Amos has served his country faithfully for 40 years. And the only thing that bothers me is when I grew up, I never saw Marines in dress uniforms wearing medals like heroes of the Soviet Union. They always had a nice, neat row of ribbons, you know, it looked really nice. Now they got them, they're wearing all kinds of medals. And the Army is even worse. I saw, what's his name, Dumpster Dempsey, the guy that never goes to war. And he's the president's number one man. And he had, I never saw so many medals. And they were all banging around and dangling. I says, the only thing this guy hasn't got on his chest is a wind chime. Unbelievable. I like the ribbons, nice and neat and sweet. Medals, that's for Russian troops. That's for Russian generals. But, I get, you know, that's my personal opinion. I like the ribbons. When I see a guy walking around like a Dumpster Dempsey with all of the medals and the wind chimes, I'm looking for that little can on a stick, you know, and the little broom that the ushers use to sweep up the cigarette butts. Oh, man. Okay, Patton never would have worn all those medals, right? I'm reading Patton right now. I'm up to the Battle of the Bulge. And everybody got caught. Everybody got caught with their pants down, except Patton. You know why? Because Patton had three plans for three different directions. He always had something on the... He had a game plan for everything. And the ones that were... The generals thought the war was over. They thought their troops were all going to be home by Christmas. And just like, you know, you got to be aware of Christmas. Christmas is a general's folly. If I was a general, I would not leave the base. I would stay active on Christmas. And that, who else, what other general did they get on Christmas? We're going to be home for Christmas. MacArthur. Right? Unbelievable. Anyway, they all got caught with their pants down, and Patton was the only one that could save them. And you got to get O'Reilly's book, because O'Reilly needs the money. And he claims he donates a lot, so if he's donating to Wounded Warriors, I hope that's where my money went when I bought his book. I bought his book, and I like it. I'm up to when the SS pushes through. On the way to Bastogne, and they're taking no prisoners. And a lot of the GIs, their first, some of them were fresh troops, just come in from the States. They had no idea. Some of them, one outfit got caught in their underwear. They marched them out to a field and machine gunned them all. God always leaves a witness, though. Two guys escaped. And, of course, when the Americans found out that the Germans were not playing by the Geneva Convention, the Americans stopped playing by the Geneva Convention. And I remember I worked for a dry cleaner who was a World War II vet. He was Jewish. So there were Jewish guys in the service. The draft gets everybody. And no draft, it's pick and choose. That's why I loved the draft. And so did Patton. He believed in universal service. Everybody gets to go. You wouldn't tell him you had a bad leg. He'd say, well, you're going into the bad leg platoon. Yeah. But my boss, the dry cleaner, he told me that once they heard that the Germans had killed the troops, they were taking no prisoners, they started doing the same thing. He says he was walking on a trail you know, as they were advancing, and there was a German hanging up in a tree, and everybody that walked by put a round in him. And that's war, man. And that's why when you see Marines with flamethrowers in Okinawa, they're there to win a war. They're not there to debate. They're not there to talk about who's got rights. They're there to save a country. Only fools debate when the Shiite hits the fan. So we're closing out. We're going to close with the Marine Corps hymn. And I'm glad they call it a hymn. And never forget that the streets of heaven are guarded by U.S. Marines. Bugler, sound boots and saddles.